Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your hosts, Sandra Flack.
Genesis 50, verses 19 through 20. Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. My guest today is my buddy, and I'm honored to call her friend, the amazing Mandy Litsky. Welcome to the show, Mandy.
Thank you, Sandra, and I feel the exact same about you, friend.
Aw. So you're in Ohio, and we're here in New York, but we're going to have this conversation. And I know you're parked near the hospital because you have a kiddo in the hospital, and we just thank you for taking time out of your crazy busy life to be able to have this conversation. This is part one because your story is just going to take two episodes, right? Your story is so big. Your family is big. Mandy and her husband Dave are parents to 17 children, two biological and 15 adopted. Each one unique and precious. But Mandy, your story actually began when you were a little girl who experienced some things that maybe the enemy meant for evil, but God has certainly used for good. So Mandy, share with us your tragic beginning.
Yeah, so my story actually begins, in a small town of Georgia. I was born, unfortunately, into a home that was suffering from the effects of poverty, alcoholism, drug addiction, and thus resulting in extreme neglect and abuse of every form. Our home was definitely not a portrait of health and happiness. Hope just did not exist. My mother's first marriage had ended abruptly after she was given an ultimatum by my father, end this pregnancy with this child or I walk. And true to his word, when my mother chose life, which was the first miracle of my life, praise God, but he was true to his word and he walked. And when he walked out the door, he left my mother single, broke, mom of three, trying to make it on her own. And what I believe was a second marriage entered into of not a marriage derived of love and relationship, but out of desperation to provide and care for her children, she entered into this marriage. And unfortunately, because of my stepfather's vices, it would create horrific conditions and would eventually lead to destruction of our family. With that said, every day for my mom, it was a desperate struggle to survive. It was believed and said that neighbors would see. I believe the neighbors knew that there was a crisis in the family, but maybe not to the degree, or they didn't want to step in. I'm not sure. But they would see my mother leaving and knocking on the back doorsteps of the neighbors and seeking just respite, maybe a safe haven for just a little while. And unfortunately, as I grew and my brothers grew, so did the demands and the challenges that she faced. And eventually, the daily struggle to survive and provide and protect would take its toll on my mom. Mm. And on one particular day, it started out like any other day in our home. The onset of rage and the violence would continue. But on this particular day, my mom would have become far too weary and no longer had the stamina to fight or the strength to survive. And on this particular day, the violence would take my mother's life right before my very eyes.
So that really began your journey into the U.S. foster care system.
Yes. It was believed to be about a day and a half later when what I am told the neighbors, someone suspected something because they did not see interactions going on, and they heard the whimpers of a young child, which would have been myself. And when the authorities arrived, they found my mother's body beaten and strangled, lying over the bed. And in the corner, trembling, hunkered down, was an abandoned, battered little girl, so very, very fearful to be touched from the trauma that had been endured and witnessed, and but so desperate to be loved.
How old were you at that time, Mandy?
4 years old.
So you were at that point taken by the authorities and eventually went into foster care?
Yes. So when the appropriate calls were made and no one stepped forward, or those that were contacted were not deemed appropriate placements, then I would become a ward of the state and entered into the foster care system.
And how long were you in foster care?
Mine's one of those stories that's a little different, but a total of 6 years.
And how many different foster homes were you placed in?
For the foster homes, because of the situation, I went into what was known as some private custody to protect me because of the state of the mental state of my stepfather. And so there were several respite homes. And so I would move from place to place to place in the beginning, just trying to get me, you know, out of the area and to make sure to ensure my safety. So overall, it was a total of actually foster placements would have been 4, but there were other homes and emergency placements for the night that I would stay or for a few days.
And during that 6 years, what was that experience like for you as a little girl?
You know, it's quite interesting. I've learned through, obviously, with my own experience, the experience of my children and being an advocate for the foster care system. You know, we need them and we're grateful for them. But unfortunately, there are foster homes that have the wrong motives. And when that occurs, then unfortunately, it deepens the wounds of what the child has already has experienced, and that was my case. But then when there is a Christ following home with the right motives and seeking to wrap around this child and promote, you know, healing and hope and, you know, nurturing, then it can be life giving and life sustaining. And the one thing that, you know, we've learned in this last decade especially is when we talk a lot about trauma. And when I left, though I had very few belongings, much, quote unquote, baggage would accompany me. For scars and wounds, as we know, are not checked at the gate, but they are indeed carry on. And wherever I went, so did the impact of the trauma of all I had suffered and experienced. So that would present challenges in the different homes. And I was an emotionally distraught little girl. And when there was not sufficient grace extended, then that would just cause things to escalate, fears and triggers and so forth, when those were not understood. And then that causes, you know, more difficulty. And the other part is, you know, a child needs consistency and needs a safe place. And you can't establish that in a normal foster care setting from different placements. And I certainly couldn't do it with the way that my story was unfolding. And so that presented challenges as well. Until some things changed.
Yeah. So you were finally placed with a Christian family where your healing began. So share with us about that.
Yeah, so it had been, you know, several years, and I finally was placed in a new foster home. And immediately in this home, there were things that were just different. It was a Christ-following home, which at that time I really didn't grasp what that meant. But now looking back, I know that that was the obvious difference. And the grace that they extended, the tangible grace that they allotted me during my healing journey. And it was just different. I could tell that they didn't see me for the problems that I created or for the inconvenience that I might have felt that I was. Or, you know, at some homes, I remember lying awake at night wondering if my actions for the day would merit my next eviction notice. Mm-hmm. But even though I felt that early on in this home, my parents were very quick to ensure that their love was unconditional and it was not based on my choices or my actions, but for who I was and who God had asked them to be in my life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Along with that, when I was placed in this home, I was also assigned a new social worker who I refer to as Mrs. B. And Mrs. B just tenaciously fought for me. She had seen my case file. She knew my story. She knew that any more disruptions in my life could be detrimental and that she had to do something. And what I believe is that that the grace of God and the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, you're going to fight for this kid. And fight she did. She fought upstream against conventional thinking, and she fought all the way for me and believed in who I could be. And I remember her telling a story when she said that she knew that things were changing and that healing was occurring and that hope was on the horizon for this little girl named Mandy.
Aww. And healing indeed came. Today you're a married mom of 17 children and founder of Safe Harbor Orphan Care there in Ohio. And you're my buddy. I know you have such a sweet spirit. You are a shining child of God. And like you mentioned, we know children with trauma backgrounds like you experienced really struggle with their identity as they grow up. They struggle with trust, struggle in their relationships, with believing that God loves them. So, Mandy, what changed the trajectory of your life from that orphan spirit mindset to knowing you are a loved daughter of God?
You know, one thing that occurred in the new foster placement that would eventually God would see fit to become my adoptive parents. But during that time, my parents poured into me the truths of the living word, the word of God. My mom, one of the greatest legacies that she left us, and my father too, but my mom was a praying mom, and her faith was firm, and she believed living out God's word and taking it, you know, for truth. And she just poured that into us. And I'll never forget, She looked at me one day and she said, Mandy, you cannot change the beginning of your story, but you have the power within you of Christ to not let it, you know, to let it end differently. Mm-hmm. And you are not defined by what has happened or what has occurred, and your past does not have to define or dictate your future. You get to choose that. And so she poured in verses like, you know, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I set you apart. Mm-hmm. Genesis 50, as you shared, of what the enemy meant for evil, God would use it for good. And, you know, just teaching us the love of God. But in addition to that, I feel like the Holy Spirit just breathed in me as the healing occurred, breathe that life-sustaining love that he gives to us to let me know that I was not a mistake and that I was created with a plan and a purpose and one to give life and abundant life. It was up to me. It was up to me to decide that after everything I had seen, I knew even as a small child that I was a miracle. Mm-hmm. I saw the miracles unfold before my eyes time and time again. And many times it was the fruit of my mother's prayer and my father's prayers and of their, you know, faith in Jesus. And so it was up to me to claim of saying, Lord, your word tells me this, and I'm not going to let fear stand in the way. Love casts out fear, and your love is perfect. Mm-hmm. So every day it was fighting for that, but you knew that it was worth it.
Wow. Your story is a testimony of hope that there really can be beauty from ashes. And as an adoptive mom myself, I want to know that there is hope for my children who struggle with their identity. On this show over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with people like you who were orphaned or in foster care, but who have also experienced tremendous healing. And when I ask them the same question, you know, that I've asked you, what made the difference? I often get some of those same answers. It's experiencing that unconditional love of God. You mentioned your adoptive parents, and even your social worker, just demonstrating that unconditional love of God, fighting for you. And then the other thing that people often also share is choosing to believe God's word and what he says about us and his word, as opposed to the lies of the enemy. And from your personal experience, that seems to also be true.
Yeah. You know, I spoke of, you know, that I feel like God had breathed a gift of childlike faith when hope was revealed to me, and then I experienced joy, and that became my strength. It was life-altering, and it changes. I mean, I'll never forget walking back into a hospital of the county where I was born. And I remember a nurse that walked toward me, and she never looked into, you know, my newly adopted mom's eyes, or soon to be adopted mom's eyes. Our eyes locked. And she walked up to me and she said, "Is this Mandy?" Now, it had been years since I had been back into this hospital. And my mom said, "Why, yes, do you know Mandy?" And she said, "Do I know Mandy?" She said, "I treated her time and time again, and I never thought she would survive." And she said, "But this is the first time," she said, "I would know those eyes anywhere." She said, "This is the first time that I have seen light and brightness in these eyes. What has happened to this child?" Mm. Wow. That was, you know, that's the healing grace of Jesus. And when we extend that tangible grace into the lives of others, and when God breathes that into a child and that faith comes alive, you know, he plants the seeds and then he continues to cultivate it through our journey. And in addition to that, he invites others to partake in the work of what he is doing. And my church family wrapped around our family and loved in addition. So I just had a lot of champions fighting for me that God, you know, put in place. And I am so grateful.
Oh, that is an amazing story of hope. And Mandy, what would you say to foster and adoptive parents out there who are listening to us today?
You know, I go back. I would probably start with the first thing that I have learned: messy does not mean mistake, and God does not create mistakes, and he's not afraid of getting in the mess with us. Our own redemption, you know, shows us that of the extent that he went of dying on a cross for us. But I would say messy does not mean mistake. And I would say just take one day at a time, at taking God for his word and trusting him and letting him show, you know, every day his love and his grace and what he can do with things. You know, Ephesians 3:20 style is what I say, more than we could ever hope or imagine. And the other part is, I go back to one of the other things that I was blessed with is I was exposed to some great Christian people in my life, but also stories. And I just think of one off the top of my head. Corrie Ten Boom was one of my heroes. And her quote that says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." We don't understand what's happening. We don't understand it. We can't fathom why, you know, the things are unfolding. But what we do know is that God can often use the circumstances of our lives for the frame to become the framework for what he wants to speak through us and do through us, and for us to become his vessel.
And that, you know, I think too, that for parents, it's extending that unconditional love to our kids when they're in the messy, when they're in those broken places, and praying over them and praying God's word and speaking God's word, speaking that life into them as your parents had done, is life changing.
Yes, it is. It's huge.
Yeah. And so then, Mandy, what would you say to our listeners who maybe themselves are struggling with their own identity as children of God?
I would just remind them that, you know, in the beginning, God knew them. And God prepared for them. He created their life, and he tells us that he created us to be set apart. The verse in Ephesians that talks about that we are adopted into his family, the translation that I love, it says, "This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great joy." He chose us. And the lie, you know, we already are a product that the enemy thought that he had safely secure in his grasp. But because of God's redeeming grace, you know, we are now free from that. And the enemy is going to work at all, you know, all lengths to try and whisper the subtle lies and scream that we are unworthy and unwanted. But I would say, go back to his word and, like you said, proclaim the truth. Remind yourself, remind those children that God has entrusted into your care. Remind them that they are cherished and they are treasures. And just, you know, to continually, and to fight for it. We have to fight. You know, what we fight against is not, you know, the scripture. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but, you know, against the enemy. And so it's mostly those lies and those, you know, those subtle whispers of battling. And it's worth the fight. We have to get up every day and be willing to fight and know that in the end that it's worth it. And we have to choose to claim who we are and let God do the rest.
That's true. That is, I believe that, and that there's always, the enemy is always there to lie to us and tell us that we're not who God says we are. But choosing every day to get up and believe that we are who he says we are chosen and wanted, and we are his masterpiece, created for good works, created for a plan and a purpose. And,
right.
And it's choosing. I know you've said this before. It's some days it's a moment by moment choice to choose to believe God.
That's exactly right. To believe him and to embrace it. You know, God has a plan for our life, but the enemy has a plan for our life as well.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to seek the truth and, you know, to proclaim that, and then to embrace, you know, obviously God's plan for our life, but to be able to discern, claim it, and embrace it and fight for it.
Yeah. Amen. Mandy, I just thank you so much for your transparency and for sharing your story of hope and healing with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity with this story.
Yeah. So our listeners can find Mandy on Facebook at Mandy Litsky, also at Safe Harbor Orphan Care Ministry. I know they both have a Facebook presence there. And next week, join us for part two of Mandy's story and hear how God set 17 children into her family. A lot of healing going on there. So we thank you, our listeners, for tuning in today. I am Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans and your host of Orphans No More. You can find more episodes of this podcast on our website at justicefororphansny.org, also on iTunes or Google Play by searching for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to follow and share the podcast. You can also find and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. We'd like to also thank our generous supporters who've contributed to underwrite our annual fundraising banquet this September of 2019, beginning with Crystal Clear Finances in Latham, New York. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls, whether it be adoption, foster care, orphan care portal. To learn more or to contact us or to donate online, visit us at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.